Mars Incorporated, makers of America's most enjoyable candy bars, present
Gerstin Time!
Makers of Milky Way candy bars welcome you to Curtain Time. A smart theater crowd is gathered here in the lobby tonight, and among the most eager to see the new play is the well-known man about town, your host, Patrick Allen.
Good evening.
Well, Mr. Allen, I understand tonight's play is packed with action.
Packed is the word, John, but there's the overture, so we'd better hurry inside the theater for tonight's production of Curtain Time. Tickets, please. Thank you, sir.
Center, seats 7 and 8.
Well, these are fine seats, but the lights will be dimmed in a moment, so let's glance through the program. Harry Elders and Annette Sargent, supported by the Milky Way Players, are starred tonight in One Night in the Rain. Mr. Elders plays the part of Sid Carson, and Miss Sargent takes the role of Janice Barnsby.
Curtain time!
There's the call for the first act of One Night in the Rain. The scene is the office of J.P. Barnsby, editor of the Daily Globe, who sits behind a massive desk. At this moment, a young man has just entered, closing the door behind him.
You wanted to see me, J.P.?
Yes, sir, yes. Come on in and sit down.
Sure thing. What's up, J.P.?
I've got it, Sid, my boy. I've got it.
You've got what?
Well, almost a year ago, I said there was enough graft and crime in this community so that the Globe could expose something different every week for a year.
Yeah?
Well, we've only got one more week to go.
Yes, I know.
It's bringing results, my boy. The voters for civic virtue are talking about running me for mayor in the next election.
Oh?
All we need is one final bang-up expose, and it's in the bag.
J.P., don't you think we're sort of running this thing into the ground?
Well, of course not. What do you mean?
Well, we started out with gangs and gambling and stuff like that.
Yes, we did.
Well, that's okay, but last week, when we were reduced to filling two columns of the Globe with the number of germs spread by kissing each year...
Yes?
Well, it seems to be getting a little thin.
Oh, nonsense, nonsense. And anyway, I have a brand new angle. It will top anything we've done.
Okay, what do we expose now?
Hold-ups.
Hold-ups? I don't get it.
Look, Sid, I've got a new slant on hold-ups.
Okay, let's have it.
Well, if the people of this city want to get rid of crime, they've got to cooperate.
I still don't get it.
Young man, there's been an increase in hold-ups during the last month, hasn't there?
Right.
Well, if people would stay home at night, they wouldn't be held up, right?
Well...
They couldn't be.
No, instead, they'd be home to welcome the burglar.
Now, my boy, I'm serious about this. That's why I want you to find out what all these people who are out every night are doing.
I'm to find out that?
Yes, sir. You'll be the Globe's inquiring reporter. I want you to go out on the busiest streets and ask people why they aren't at home.
Oh, but J.P., these people are out for all kinds of reasons. They're going to work, they're coming from work, girls are going to meet their boyfriend.
Kid, no woman should be out alone at night.
Oh, now, J.P., you have a daughter yourself.
I do. She's 23 years old, too. And she never goes out at night unless she has a proper escort. And she's back by 10 o'clock.
Oh, brother.
What's that?
You win, J.P. I'm licked. But, gee, it's raining. I'll get soaked.
Do you intend to let crime flourish because of a little rain?
Well,
let's see. It's 10 p.m. now. Get your story in by 3 a.m. so it can make the early edition.
Oh, but J.P.
But what?
Oh, never mind. I'll get going. But if anything happens to me, remember, there'll be blood on your hands. Pardon me, miss.
Yeah?
I wonder... I'm making a survey.
Hey, what's eating you?
Would you mind telling me why you're not at home?
Look, smart guy, you better go dig up a new approach. I'm waiting for my boyfriend. He works late.
Oh, I see. Let me get that down. Waiting for boyfriend, works late. Thanks. Thanks a lot.
Well, how do you like that?
Let's see now. Oh, there's another one, that girl standing in the doorway. Pardon me, miss, but do you mind telling me why you're not at home? You know, why you're standing here in this doorway?
I'm trying to keep out of the rain.
No, look, that's not what I mean. What I want to know is why you're out at all.
Because I don't have any place to go, that's why.
No place to go?
This is supposed to be a friendly city, but I've been to all the hotels and everybody's been horrid to me. I'm all wet and I feel terrible. terrible.
Oh, now, wait a minute. Take it easy. Oh, you poor kid. You are soaked.
What am I going to do?
Let me get this straight. You say you haven't a place to stay?
Well, I've been all over. There's not a room in town.
Oh. Well, there's a sandwich shop across the street. Let me buy you a cup of coffee, hmm?
Oh, no. No, I couldn't.
But look, I know some hotel managers. I'm a newspaper man. I'll phone them from there.
Oh, you really think you could get me a room?
Well, I can't promise, but I can try awfully hard.
Well...
Come on, let's wrap ourselves around some Java. You look as though you could use it.
Well, yes, I guess I can.
Look, George, I've called every hotel in town. Yes, I know, George, but well, you've always got a room or two you save for an emergency. Okay, George, I'm sorry I dragged you out of bed. See you.
Now, Sid will pick you up, honey. I know he will. He's a nice fella, too. He lives right down the street. Comes in here for coffee almost every night.
Well, I certainly hope he can find something for me.
Well, this housing situation sure is tough. Any luck, Sid?
No.
But I've just got to get someplace to stay.
Look, honey, you have another cup of coffee. Maybe we can figure something out.
I'm supposed to be out working.
You're staying right here till we get her all set. I'll be back with two coffees in half a second.
Well, I just can't go back home.
You mean you live near enough so you can go home?
Oh, well, yes, but I just can't go back.
Why not?
Oh, my father, well, he... Oh, you wouldn't understand.
Well, if you've got a home you can go to, we're going out and grab a cab right now.
Oh, but it's way out in the suburbs.
Well, that doesn't matter.
Oh, but I just can't go home. You don't know my father.
Now, just a second. Does he beat you?
Well, no.
Then what is it?
Oh, he's terrible. He doesn't approve of anything I do.
Well,
he drives away all my boyfriends. And if I get a job, he makes me quit just because he doesn't approve of women working. And he insists that I'm at home by 10 every night.
Well, I'm taking you home now.
Oh, won't you please try to understand? I want to be a singer, but my father won't let me sing anything but grand opera.
Look, how old are you?
23.
Well, then you're of age, and he can't tell you what to do.
But we live in the same house. Don't you understand?
Well, then get out of the house.
Well, that's what I've done.
Oh. Oh, yeah. But
what?
Oh, nothing. Where's your luggage?
Well, I was afraid to try to sneak anything out for fear Horace, that's the butler, would hear me and call Dad, and then the police would be out looking for me.
But your father can't force you to go home.
Oh, he'd find a way. I'm sure he'd keep me from getting a job, and he'd raise such a fuss that nobody would rent me a room.
Is he going to find you anyway?
Maybe not. Not if I get a place to stay and get a job and change my name.
Now, by the way, what is your name?
Why, Smith. Will that do?
Not very original. But we'll call you Smitty, and I still think you're nuts.
Will you stop picking on her? Here's your Java.
Oh, thank you.
I'm all for you, honey. Of course, this typewriter slave wouldn't understand. What you're doing takes a little gumption. He doesn't even have the nerve to tell that narrow-minded editor of his where to get off.
You've got a point there. Smitty's dad and my boss ought to get together. Neither one of them seems to approve of anything.
Oh, what newspaper did you say you work for?
I work for that great soldier of civic virtue, J.P. Barnsby of the Daily Globe.
Oh, you do?
Yes. You know somebody on the paper?
Oh, no, of course not.
You know, honey, you could go over to my place for the night. Only I got two roommates already and just one bed.
Well, that's sweet of you, but there must be some
place. Hey, I got it. What? Sid, you work all night, don't you?
Why, yes.
Well?
Oh, no, you don't.
Look, you half-baked excuse for a man. Are you going to let this little girl wander around in the rain all night when you could put a roof over her head?
But think of my landlady.
What for?
Well, she rents the place from Barnsby, my boss. If she found out, I'd not only be out of a place to live, but out of a job as well.
Well, I don't want to cause anybody any trouble.
Now, you stay out of this. See here, you big, brave newspaper man. Do you happen to remember the day before Christmas the year before last?
Oh, look, Marie, Christmas is past.
You were terribly itchy to catch a train so you could spend Christmas at home with your mother and father, remember?
Well, sure, but...
And you had a story to write, only you didn't write it. Ed Wilcox of the Gazette wrote it for you. He phoned it in right from here, said you were sick...
Now, look, Marie...
Ed might tell somebody about it, if I asked him to.
Oh, but gosh, you wouldn't do a thing like that.
I wouldn't, huh? You can bet your boots I would.
No, Marie, no.
Look, Junior, if you don't want me to get in touch...
Okay, you talked me into it. That is, if it's okay with Smitty.
Oh, well, it sort of sounds like fun.
Yeah. Yeah, guess it would be. I always did want to put something over on my landlady.
Now you're talking.
Okay, we'll do it. What do we owe you, Marie?
This one's on me.
Boy, will J.P. ever do a flip-flop if he hears about this.
The curtain falls on the first act of tonight's Curtain Time play, starring Harry Elders and Annette Sargent with the Milky Way Players. And now, John Weigel.
To everyone who enjoys fine candy, there is always delightful satisfaction to be found in the taste of a Milky Way candy bar. For every bite of a Milky Way is a luscious flavor combination of the choicest candy ingredients. A thick milk chocolate coating, a golden layer of smooth creamy caramel, and a soft chocolate nougat center, richly flavored with real malted milk. All melt together in each enjoyable mouthful to give you that rare taste blend found only in a Milky Way. When you crave good candy, eat a Milky Way.
There's the call for the second act of One Night in the Rain, brought to you by the Milky Way Players. When his editor sent him out to write a story telling why people go out at night, reporter Sid Carson thought it was a crazy idea. He met a girl, however, who was crying because she had no place to stay, and Sid promised to let her stay in his room because he works at night. Now, a few minutes later, Sid is unlocking the door to his room.
Well, that's it. Come on in.
Ooh, it's so dark.
Just a second, I'll get the light. There.
Oh, it's nice. It's so masculine and everything.
Shh. Don't talk until I get the door shut. Ooh. This is only the third floor and the landlady's on the first floor.
Oh, it's such quaint old furniture and such a beautiful old fireplace.
Yeah, just don't light a fire in it, that's all. The landlady says there's something wrong with it.
Oh, everything's so old and antique.
Ratty is a better word for it.
Oh, but it's such a wonderful room. And it's warm, too.
Yeah, I hope you'll be comfortable. I'll be back about 7 in the morning.
Oh, you've been so grand to me, and I'm so grateful.
Hey, now, just a second.
That's for being so sweet.
Look, lady, you'd better not go around kissing guys like that. They might get to like it.
Scoot, I gotta get my clothes dried out.
Well, you'll find some things in the drawer. I don't suppose they'll fit, but... No, I don't suppose they will.
Good night, Sid.
Oh. Oh, yeah. Good night, Smitty.
Call for you on line 3, Mr. Barnsby. It's your butler.
All right, Ed. Thank you. Hello, Horace. What is it? What? You say she's disappeared? But it's 1 o'clock in the morning. I just stopped in here on my way home from the club and you say her bed hasn't been slept in? Then she's been kidnapped. That's it. Kidnapped. Why, you fool, call the police. Yes, right away.
Been looking all over for you.
What for?
Somebody's kidnapped J.P.'s daughter.
You're kidding.
Oh, honest. At least that's what he thinks. Of course, I figure she's run off with some guy. Girls is nuts that way.
You'll never be promoted beyond office boy if J.P. hears you say that. Besides, J.P. would never let her off the leash long enough for that. He won't even bring her down here for fear some sin might rub off on her.
Well, anyway, J.P. wants to see you.
Okay.
Hey, Sid, you know what's happened? Do you?
Well,
my daughter's been kidnapped, that's what. The forces of evil in this town have taken my daughter in order to shut me up. To get even with me for my expose.
No, J.P.
I'll show them. We'll spread it all over the paper. We'll stir up honest citizens to the point where they'll run every last crook out of town.
But, J.P.
I'll tear who's ever responsible for this to bits with my own hands. They think they can keep me from being mayor. Why, when I get through with them, they'll plead for mercy.
Now, take it easy,
Sid.
J.P.
Sid, my boy. You know all the crooks in this town. You should know who's done this to me.
But I haven't any idea who it is.
Well, then expose them all. Take the whole front page. Smear the picture of every hoodlum in town all over it. Say they all kidnapped my daughter.
How about a story about her?
Yeah, a story. And the picture. Let's see. I've got a picture here in my desk somewhere.
should be in here. Yeah, here it is. We'll put that right in the middle of the front page. Here.
Okay. Say, she's... Say, P, is this your daughter?
Of course it is. No.
No.
Hey, what's the matter with you?
Look, J.P., I'll see you again sometime.
Where are you going?
Brother, if you only knew. Smitty, where are you?
Hello. Right over here on the floor by the fireplace.
Oh, well, look, you're getting out of here right away. And... hey, what in heaven's name do you think you're doing?
Roasting wieners in the fireplace.
But the landlady forbids me to use the fireplace. It's out of order.
Oh, silly, it works fine. And I found these frankfurters on the windowsill. Have a bite?
Look, you're getting out of here right now.
In these clothes?
Where did you ever find that getup?
Well, my clothes were all wet, so I hung them up to dry. And I found one of your shirts and a pair of slacks. I look cute, don't I? They're only about twice too big for me.
Well, wet or dry, you're getting right back into your clothes, Miss Janice Barnsby.
Oh, so that's it. You found out who I am.
Yes.
Well, sit down and have a wiener.
Do you know that every cop in town is out looking for you?
Well, of course. That is, I knew they would be when they missed me.
But your father, he's beside himself.
No, it'll do him good. He's a really good wiener. Sure you don't want one?
Look, your father is telling everyone that you've been kidnapped. He's getting out a special edition of the paper. He's threatening to kill the person who did it.
Well, I've made up my mind that I'm not going back, so that's that.
Okay, but you're not staying here. Your father's my boss. I'll lose my job. Maybe my life.
But who's going to tell him? I'm not. And I'm sure you won't.
Please, just for me. The least you can do is to call him and tell him you haven't been kidnapped.
Well, I might do that.
Fine, the telephone's right there.
You don't have to push me.
Well...
besides, I'll call, but I'm not going back home.
All right. But you've got to get out of here in the morning before the landlady gets up.
Okay, maybe I can find a place to live tomorrow. I have to buy some clothes, too.
Fine. Now call your father. In heaven's name, don't tell him where you are.
Okay, I'll call him on his private wire.
I sure hope he never finds out about this.
I bet he goes right through the roof the minute he hears my voice.
Hello?
Hello, Father.
Janice, are you all right?
I'm fine, Dad.
Oh, thank heaven. Did you get away from the kidnappers?
I haven't been kidnapped. I just left home.
Janice, who's done this to you?
Now listen, Dad. Are you going to do all the talking, or are you going to listen to me?
I am listening.
Well, I ran away from home, and I'm not coming back. I'll get in touch with you when you decide to be reasonable.
Oh, Janice, somebody's making you say that. Tell me where you are.
A very nice man has let me his apartment for the night.
Hey, don't tell him that.
A man?
Yes. Wasn't that nice of him?
A man? I heard a man's voice. Ed, get on another wire and have this call traced.
Oh, well, goodbye, Father.
Janice, don't hang up. I...
tell me, what'd he say?
Well, he was shouting to somebody to have the call traced, so I thought I'd better hang up.
Oh, my job. He'll murder me if he finds out I had anything to do with this.
Now, don't worry. They may not be able to trace the call.
Oh, why? Why did this have to happen to me?
Well, I'm sorry I've caused you so much trouble, but you don't know what life's been like for me, and I had to have some place to go, and I was wet and cold.
Oh, I guess it's not your fault.
Oh, you've been so good to me, and I'm ever so grateful.
Well, maybe everything will turn out all right.
Oh, sure. And it's been sort of fun, hasn't it?
Fun? I don't get it.
Well, where's your spirit of adventure? Just think, the whole police department's looking for me, and all the time I'm up here in your apartment. Don't you get any kick out of that?
Oh, sure.
Oh, I wish I could have seen Father's face when I told him I was in a man's apartment.
Boy, I bet he turned purple. But just wait until his voters for civic virtue hear about this.
You know, you're very nice. I bet you'd be a lot of fun if I could keep you far enough away from Dad.
Hey, that reminds me, I've got to get back to work.
Oh, gee, you're such a nice guy.
Now, look, I wish you wouldn't...
Don't you like being kissed?
Oh, brother, I'm getting out of here and fast.
Before we bring you the third act of tonight's Curtain Time play, starring Harry Elders and Nana Sargent with the Milky Way Players, here is John Weigel.
For many years now, candy lovers have stopped often at candy counters throughout the country to enjoy the taste of a Milky Way candy bar. For a Milky Way is always a truly luscious treat. From the moment you first open the crisp wrapper and recognize that enticing scent of fine, pure milk chocolate, then with each bite, your teeth sink through the thick milk chocolate coating, the golden layer of smooth, creamy caramel, and the soft chocolate nougat center, richly flavored with real malted milk. Together, the milk chocolate, creamy caramel, and soft nougat make every bite of a Milky Way luscious, right down to the last delightful flavor that lingers in your mouth. When you crave good candy, eat a Milky Way.
The call for the third act of One Night in the Rain, brought to you by the Milky Way Players. When J.P. Barnsby showed Sid Carson a picture of his daughter, the young reporter, aware for the first time of her real identity, made a beeline for his rooming house and told Janice she had to leave. Sid also demanded that she call her father and tell him she wasn't kidnapped. Now, a short time later, Sid walks into J.P.'s office.
Sid, where in thunderation have you been?
Well, I...
Never mind. There's work to be done. We're going to kill that kidnapping angle.
Oh, then you've learned that your daughter wasn't kidnapped?
Oh, it's worse than that.
Worse?
Yes, much worse. By some insidious means, they have her under their power.
I don't get it.
She called.
Uh-huh.
And from the way she talked, I'm sure she's been doped or hypnotized or something.
Did you trace the call?
No, the telephone company couldn't trace it.
Oh, brother.
Barnsby, the alarm just came in. There's a big fire at 372 South 29th Street.
372? Why, I own that building.
Why, that's my place. That fireplace. Smitty must
have... Those filthy crooks. First they take my daughter. Now they're burning down my property.
Quick, give me the keys to your car. That's my apartment.
Well, now, see, here's it.
I told you that's the place where I live. I've got to get there.
And I told you it's my building. I'm going with you.
Hey, Sid!
What is it, J.P.?
Did you say that third floor window there was your apartment?
Yes.
Well, there's somebody up there.
Oh, my gosh, Smitty. Here, this ladder. Grab the other end and help me get it over there, quick.
Yeah, sure.
Can't you move any faster?
I'm doing the best I can.
Okay, swing your end around. There, just a little further. Oh, that's it. Now, boost.
There, that's got it.
Just a little more. Oh, I'm coming, Smitty. Out of the way, J.P., I'm going up.
Don't come up, Sid. I can reach the ladder myself.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Well, wait, that's Janice. Yes, J.P., that's Janice was in your apartment.
No, I mean...
Why, you...
Look, I can explain everything.
You dog in the manger.
For the love of Pete, J.P., put down that plank. I tell you, I can...
I'll put it down right in the middle of your skull.
No, J.P.
You coward. I'm going to beat you within an inch of your life. So help me, I am.
Why, Janice.
Oh, Sid, I'm so glad you came. I was afraid you mightn't.
Did you come down to the office with your father?
Yes. He insisted that I come along with him.
Mm-hmm.
He also insisted that I wait right here outside his office until you came in.
How is he this morning?
He's been acting terrible.
He hasn't cooled off much then, huh?
He said some horrible things to me.
Oh, he would pick on a woman.
They weren't half as bad as the things he said about you.
Oh.
He said for us to come into his office as soon as you got here.
Well, then, I guess we might as well get it over with.
Sid.
Yes, Janice?
I'm not going to let him bully me into doing as he says. Will you stick by me?
You're darn right I will.
Oh, Sid.
Come on, here goes.
Oh. Oh, there you are.
Yes, Father, here we are.
That's right, here we are.
Well, I hope you two are happy. Before you, you see a ruined man.
Ruined?
Yes, young woman. I've been rejected by the voters for civic virtue. I've been dropped like a hot potato.
Gee, that's tough.
Look at the opposition papers. Look at the pictures on the front pages.
Hey, that one isn't bad.
My daughter climbing out of the window of your apartment, young man, and wearing your shirt and trousers.
But, Father...
Young lady, I'll never be able to hold my head up again. And you, young man...
But, J.P.
Don't interrupt me. You ingrate... Why, to think that you'd use me in this shabby manner. After all I've done for you, giving you the best stories, raising your salary after you'd only asked me three times. Only three times, mind you.
But, Dad...
Janice, I tried to be a good father to you. Perhaps I...
Oh, Father, I know you have, but
please,
I...
J.P., don't break down.
Break down? Who's breaking down?
Oh, but you just...
Oh, good heavens, I almost forgot.
Forgot what?
Well, now that you're assistant city editor, son.
Son?
Assistant city editor?
Of course. But that new series of interviews with prominent people on my favorite household pet and why has to get started.
J.P., are you kidding about that promotion?
Young man, you know I never kid.
And you're not angry either, Father?
Angry?
Angry, my dear? I'll have you understand I'm not mad at anybody. Except those narrow-minded voters for civic virtue.
Well, gee.
Oh, I guess that's about all there is to say.
Well, I don't know. One might add that it's a funny world. You know, last night when I ran into you in the rain...
You mean that, well, that you, too?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Sid, darling.
I guess it was just one of those things, honey. A fellow and a girl just happened to meet in it. Hey, are you listening to what I'm saying?
Am I? Oh, darling, tell me more.
The curtain falls on the last act of One Night in the Rain. Another Curtain Time play brought to you by the makers of Milky Way Candy Bar. Tonight, Curtain Time starred Harry Elders as Sid Carson and Nanette Sargent as Janice Fonzie. The part of Janice's father was played by Burr Lee, George Caesar was Ed, and Geraldine Kay was the waitress. The Curtain Time music is arranged and conducted by Bert Barber. The entire production is directed by Harry Holcomb. Just a minute, Harry Elders.
Pat, before I say a word about next week's play, let me urge all our listeners to give as much as they can to the 1947 March of Dimes.
This is particularly important now, Harry, because 1946 saw the greatest epidemic of infantile paralysis in 30 years.
Yes, Nanette, 24,000 persons, mostly children, were victims of this dread disease. So again, let me urge everyone to contribute to this worthy cause. Give all you can to the March of Dimes.
I'm sure everyone will, Harry. But about next week's play.
It's all about a mummy case, Pat.
And I'm a private detective, Pat. In fact, the place is overrun with private detectives.
And I'm the girl in the case.
You mean in the mummy case?
Oh, no, Pat.
But that is an idea. You see, Nanette, the main reason the play's called Nothing But Trouble.
Then this isn't a comedy.
Oh, yes, it's very funny.
Trouble always is when it doesn't happen to you.
I see what you mean. Thanks, and good night, Nanette Sargent and Harry Elders.
Good night,
Pat. Now I'll join this gay theater crowd as it leaves the merchandise mart. Many on their way to the glamorous after-theater spot here in Chicago. Until next week, then, this is Patrick Allen reminding you of your date next Saturday, same time, same station, when the makers of Milky Way Candy Bars present...
Curtain Time!
Week, Mars Incorporated brings you two great shows over NBC. On Monday night, be sure to hear Dr. IQ, the Mental Banker. And next Saturday, be with us again for Curtain Time. Remember, when you crave good candy, eat a Milky Way. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.